doing, Westbend? I've kind of thrown things out of whack here. Sorry about that. This is my first time speaking at three sites, and I guess we got a little too excited in Jackson, and so we kind of pushed all that out a little bit. But welcome. For those of you who don't know me, greetings from Hartford. That's where I live. Greetings from Jackson, the brothers and sisters in Jackson, who we've got a chance to be brothers and sisters with for about the last 8 years. And I'm excited to kind of close up our series on hospitality today. I'm really excited because you guys are actually putting hospitality into practice, I've seen. My wife came into the Jackson site last week, and Troy gave this kind of promise. And he gave this promise, and the only way Troy gives, he's like, all right, if you guys sit in different seats and meet different people, I promise, it'll blow your mind. Right? That's Troy. Did I do a good Troy voice? And so she said she walked in to Jackson, and there's people sitting all in different seats, and they're meeting and greeting different people. And even as I walked in today, that was happening. And I love it when we put the Word of God into practice and just don't know it, but we actually do it. Does that sound biblical? Yeah, we actually do it. And you guys are actually doing it, so good job. One of the ways we used to practice hospitality in our student ministry is we were kind of growing this, but we came up with this thing called high five or hug. In 1 Peter, it says that you should greet each other with a holy kiss. And so as we were working in hospitality with our student leaders, there was about 15, they thought this was a great idea. A lot of them were guys, and there were a lot of girls that they wanted to show hospitality to, right? And so they were like, you know what? We'll greet them with a holy kiss. That sounds great. And so I was like, settle down, boys, settle down. We got to find out a different way to show hospitality to people. And so the way we came up with it was high five or hug. And so these 15 students, they were unique, I think. But they were not so unique. They loved Jesus with all of their heart, and so that's not unique. But they also wanted to extend the love of God to everybody that they came in contact with in youth group, in their high schools. And so they were dedicated. They said, we're going to dedicate our time, our big group time, or outside of this time, to like welcoming people and being hospitable. And so every person that would come in the youth group, whether if they were a regular attender or they'd never set foot in, they would walk up there and say, hi, my name is, high five or hug. And that would break the ice. For people who came every week, it would just be like, we see you, we love you, we accept you, welcome back. And for the stranger who had never come in our doors, it was a welcome into our family. And so I thought it would kind of be fun. And maybe Jackson got a little too carried away with this, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of do that. And so what I want you to do is find three people, three strangers, right? People you don't know necessarily. And I want you to walk up to them and say, hi, my name is, welcome to Kettlebrook, high five or hug. Or we've kind of adapted this, handshake or hug. Okay, you could do a handshake or hug too. All right, so we're actually going to do this. I see these looks on your faces like, really, we have to move? Yes, really, you have to move. So ready, turn off the mic, ready, go. All right. Find your seats again. You extroverts are loving this right now. This is like your element, meeting and greeting people. And those of you who are like myself, who are a little more introverted, you're like, ooh, this is a little uncomfortable. I don't know if I like this very much. But I'll do it anyways, because I have to. This is the interesting thing that we found, is when those student leaders began to create this atmosphere of love, we called it, within our student ministries, within our large group Sunday nights, that this began to spill out to every day of the week. Like, they would begin inviting people to soccer matches and basketball games and musicals and stuff like that, and you'd be like, what is that person doing with that person? Like, they're not the same grade, they don't have the same interests, but this inviting, hospitable attitude just kind of permeated. All these cliques began to disappear. And so the sports clique, the music clique, all those went away. And we actually began being a family where everybody loved everybody just because they were. And when visitors came in, it was, they just wanted to be there because they were like, and this is different. Like the students at my school, they're not like this. They're not like this. People aren't like this. Hospitality in all walks of life. As we conclude this series, talking more about hospitality, turn to Hebrews 12:28. I believe it's on page 853 of your Bible. Let me just give I didn't say this in the first time I preached here in West Bend, but for those of you who are introverted, that high five or hug or handshake or hug is an icebreaker. Like, I understand the uncomfortability about meeting new people, welcoming strangers. But that mentality, those of you who are extroverted, that may become that's normal, but for us that's introverted, that's just an icebreaker. And we taught our students, learn where people are from. Learn where they're from. The acronym, the F stood for family. And so ask questions like, how many kids do you have in your family? Are you married? You guys, are you married? Where do you live? The R stands for recreation. What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies? If you could do anything, what would it be? The O stands for occupation. What do you do for a job? Where do you work? Do you actually like your job? The M stood for memories. What's your favorite childhood memory? What's your favorite memory of your mom or dad? And so trying to learn where people are from helped our students, and having this kind of acronym helped them say, oh man, boy, I can ask the next question. Because if you're an introvert, and I appreciate you, asking the next question is hard. So I would encourage you, ask people where they're from. Try to get to know where they're from. It will help you. What's their family like? What do they do for recreation? What do they do for an occupation? What are some of their best memories? We'll kind of continue that conversation farther than maybe you could have taken it to begin with. All right, let's read here in Hebrews. Let me turn there. As I told you guys to turn there, I didn't turn there. Sorry. All right, this is what it says. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And keep on loving each other as brothers, and do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. I think if we desire to be hospitable, the author of Hebrews reminds us, I think it starts with a worship of God and a love for God. Like, that's where hospitality has to start. We have to reorient our lives to God. Worship isn't music. It's not all these things we attach to it. Worship is really reorienting our lives to God. And you've heard Mike say it. We reorient to God's priorities. We reorient to God's passions. And we reorient our lives to God's plans. And when we do that, what we're doing is saying, God, you're in control. Your way is better than ours. We're changing our plans. We're changing our desires. And we're changing our priorities. And why do we do this? The author says it's all because of thankfulness of what God has done for us, right? Thankfulness. You are so great. You are so good. We begin to revere God. Revere God is just mean having a deep respect and a high regard for who God is. We begin to put him back on the place that he deserved to be all along. Simultaneously, we take ourselves off the place and put ourselves back in the place where we belong. It gives us an awe for God. When's the last time you've been awed by God? Like, drop dead, awed, floored by God. I can't believe it. Whoa, like, that's God. Not very often. Not very often. God did it to me in a small way today as I was driving here. As I was going over my message, he awed me by, I haven't thought about it too much, but by his wisdom. Like, I like to think I'm pretty smart. And God is just like, Dave, even my dumbest thought is smarter than your best. And I was just like, God, you are so right. He awed me by his wisdom. And I think if we're gonna show hospitality, I think it starts with putting God back in the right place. Because I don't think it's an accident. Read verse 13:1 with me again. Keep on loving each other as brothers. I don't think it's an accident that he says, worship me, and then what will come out of worship for me is love for other people. Does that sound strangely familiar? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love others as yourself? I don't think those things are independent thoughts. Because I think when we start putting God back in the position that he was supposed to be, love will flow into our hearts. And when love flows into our hearts, guess what will happen? It'll splash out into other people. We'll begin loving other people that we ordinarily wouldn't. The stranger. The person we wouldn't normally walk over to. 13 says, this is how we should love. We should love as brothers. Brothers. Sisters, I think, would be adequate for that. We should love as family. And you've heard that term thrown around Kettlebrook for about the last year, that we're a family, right? Troy says it all the time. At Jackson, Ryan says it all the time. Like, where do they get this from, family? We're just like, are going to the service together. We get it from God's word. That's what he saw us. We're supposed to love as family, as people who care about each other, are concerned about each other, who love each other deeply. And he says, love each other as family. Because I think family we love differently than strangers. Family we love differently than just a guest or a visitor, right? I mean, family we have this deep love for. Tim Keller wrote a book called Gospel and Life, Grace Changes Everything. And I highly recommend small group study, I don't know, missional community, challenging book. But he said this about hospitality. He said, the goal of the one giving hospitality is to refresh and encourage others. Hospitality done well is generous, uncomplaining, loving, and refreshing. It does not make guests feel like guests, but like members of a family. Hospitality provides a feeling of security, of warmth, of safety, and love. And so when you walk across the room and you shake someone's hand and say, hey, thanks for being here at Kettlebrook. It's good to see you again. You're doing more than providing a handshake. You're providing God's security. You're providing God's warmth. You're providing God's love. And when you sit and make time to listen to someone with deep needs over coffee, you're providing something for that person than just coffee. Keller says that our hospitality to our brothers and our family is supposed to be generous. It's supposed to give more than expected or more than what's deserved. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. We had a member of our community, and it was their birthday. And so we said, what do you want to do? We're going to throw a party. What do you want to do for your birthday? What do you want for your birthday? And she's like, I want steak for my birthday. And I was like, all right. So it kind of went, the weeks kind of went, and it came up time for the party. And I went to check for the price of steaks. And I was like, whoa. I work at Walmart, and providing steaks for the whole group was going to be a lot. And so I hatched this plan in my mind. I was like, all right. So I'm going to give the birthday girl, I'll grill a steak for her, but the rest are getting chicken. That's what they're getting. Maybe I should have chosen the other white meat, but I chose chicken. And I thought that was a perfectly great plan until our friend texted a couple days later and was like, you know what, Dave and Kayla, we'll provide the steak for everybody. And you know what? Because some people don't like steak, we'll even provide chicken. I was like, whew, dodged a bullet there. Thank you, God, for helping me dodge a bullet. And so our friends, Dave and Christy, they come over and they have this chicken, and they went to the MJ's meat market. If you've ever been there, it's a great meat market. And they bring these steak that are an inch thick. They're huge. And my heart stopped right there. I was like, Dave, how generous were you being? How generous? Did you give more than expected? Were you willing to give more than expected? And in my heart, I wasn't. I was willing to give what I could afford. And God's like, be generous. Be generous. Treat them like family. And you know what? If my parents came over, whatever you want. Whatever you want. That's how I would have treated them. But I treated this sister not generously. And God says, be generous to each other. If you're going to be family with each other, you got to be generous. You got to be sacrificial, Keller says. Sacrifice. Sacrifice gives up what we want or desire for the betterment of the other person. Sacrifice gives up my time because your time is more important. Sacrifice gives up my plans because your plans are more important than mine. Sacrifice gives up what I want for what you want. Sacrifice even means saying, I'm an introvert, and walking across that room, I don't want to do it. But it says, I know you need to be accepted and loved, and so I'll go. It means your neighbor who needs God's love, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I'll go. Because it's for their betterment. It's for their betterment. My dad has always been a great example of sacrifice. Just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he told me, he's like, Dave, he works for General Electric, and he's got this big project. He said, Dave, I'm just swamped in this project. I'm like, there's not enough days in the week for me to finish this project. I'm overwhelmed. I know I'm going to finish it someday, but I'm like in the middle of it. Anybody been there? And like, I can't do it. He was having this conversation with me while he was fixing my electrical at my house and fixing my plumbing. See, he gave up his time, his schedule, what he wanted for the betterment of me and my family. Lastly, Keller says, hospitality is refreshing. And I'll be honest, this was a new one for me a little bit. But if you look in Genesis 18, which I encourage you, want to know more about hospitality, Abraham actually invites three people over to his house. And the sole reason he does it is to refresh them, the Bible says. In Genesis 18:5, is to refresh them and encourage them. That's why he did it, to refresh them and encourage them, to reinvigorate their spirits, to pour life back in where life is no more. We have a lot of friends who are dual income. And so one of the hardest things for dual income families is when they come home after a busy day and they have their kids, who's going to make dinner? How are we going to go through that routine? It's just really stressful. Refreshing is to say, hey, come on over to my house. What should I bring? That's all right. That's what we do nowadays. What should I bring? Nothing. Don't bring anything. Just come. Just come. Just be refreshed. And when you do that, you're pouring the love that Jesus poured into you. It's spilling over into them. They leave better than when they came. There's a lady, Mary Moeller, who writes a blog. And this is a long quote, but I think it's worth saying. She says, this is what hospitality is. Hospitality is not about the provider. It's not about showing how creative, innovative, organized, proficient, and gifted one is. Anybody think that's what hospitality is at some point? I know I have. Instead, she says, it's about selflessly sacrificing one's time and efforts and some degree of finances. It's about taking the risk to let your guard down and invite people to get to know you beyond a superficial level. It's about abandoning the sinful tendencies to be self-absorbed and instead seek to do whatever is necessary to meet needs. She goes on, an apt definition comes from an unlikely source. I heard about a great grandmother who was welcoming guests to the town that she had called home for all of her 100 years. And when someone commented, why do you do this? The grandma quipped, well, when you come to our town, we just want you to feel better when you leave than when you came. What a great way to describe biblical hospitality. If you provide a weary traveler with a filling meal, homemade or not, or a warm bed, he will feel better when he left than when he came. And if you welcome a friend in crisis into your home and truly listen to her, in spite of the fact that your house is not perfect, she would be better when she leaves than when she came. And if you pause to help your neighbor and then invite them to your patio to visit and to tell about themselves, they will feel better when they leave than when they came. Hospitality is not to be equated with 5-course meals and formal wear. Hospitality is to be equated with selflessly caring for others. Remember that the world is filled with people who feel isolated, lonely, and unloved. And a simple act of hospitality can lift one's spirit in amazing ways. We have no idea how the Lord may choose to bless our sincere efforts to produce results beyond what we could ever imagine. Just by being generous, just by being sacrificial, just by choosing to refresh the souls of those in our lives. We can do all that Did you believe that's what hospitality is? Gives us one more thing. God gives us one more thing in Hebrews 13:2. Says this, and do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Another translation says, who knows? If you practice hospitality, maybe you'll entertain angels unknown. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's a possibility. And I'm not promising you that an angel is going to come to your house and be there at your house, though it did happen 3 times in the Old Testament. But I think what the author is trying to say, angel, another word for angel is messenger, that maybe if you're generous and you're sacrificial and you're refreshing to strangers as they come, maybe, just maybe, you'll get a message for God from God yourself. Maybe you'll get a blessing from God yourself. Isn't that the way it works a lot of times? When you reorient your life to God and say, God, I worship you. I put you in the place you should be put. All of a sudden, God starts doing some things in your life. Ever been on a mission trip? Ever decided to love and serve people? You hear all the time, you know what? I was there and I got way more than I ever gave. Because in those moments, God is willing to speak. You are willing for God to speak to you. That happened just this week. We went out with some friends, and we love them. We've been trying to encourage them in their faith, and they've been growing in their faith. And so I found this play that I was like, man, this is perfect for them. This would be a great time to go out with them, and this would be perfect. I think this will help grow their faith and encourage them. And so we bought tickets for it. We planned to go for dinner for it, and the night was going awesome. It was a great night, fun night. And then we sat down for this play. I remember myself, we sat right in the middle, and I remember myself praying, God, will you do something in this couple's life that you haven't done before? Will you show yourself to them? Will you move in their hearts? And I continued to pray this in my heart the whole play long. And you know what God did? He did some cool stuff in their lives. We got to talk afterwards at a bar and just what they learned and how God moved in their heart. But you know what? God did stuff in my heart too. God showed me himself in new ways that I had never and I would never have allowed him if I wouldn't have submitted myself to him and been generous and been sacrificial and chose to refresh them. I know I can hear some of you saying, Dave, I don't need another to-do list. I don't need another thing to do living this Christian life. I got a family. I mean, I come to church. I'm in a small group maybe. I got a lot of stuff to do, and like I can't do any more than I'm doing. I just want to encourage you today. Hospitality is not a to-do list. It's not a list of requirements. Hospitality is simply retelling the story that God has already told you, that God has already told me, that when we were strangers, when we were outsiders, when we were at our neediest, God looked down and came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and he walked over to you, and he walked over to me, and he stretched his hand out and he said, welcome to the world. High five or hug. And he did that not because you did anything or would do anything that was acceptable or pleasing or great. He did it just because you were. He welcomed you because you were. And he didn't just give you what you deserved. Because God, think about it, he could have planned a way for salvation differently than what he did. He was God. But he didn't. He chose to give his most precious gift, his most generous gift, his son, to live a perfect life, to die a sufficient death, so that you and I could be refreshed, so that the burden of our sin that we carried, that was too heavy for us to carry, would be taken off us, and we could find life anew. Every time you welcome a stranger, Every time, in the name of Jesus, every time you walk across the room, every time you welcome, you're retelling the story of God over and over and over, of His generosity and His sacrifice and His refreshing. And doesn't our world need to hear more of the story of God? I know Hartford does. I know Jackson does. I think West Bend does. This story isn't just for the people we give it to, though. Here's the beautiful thing that I found. As I tell this story over and over of hospitality, it reminds me, you know what, Dave? You were a stranger one time to God. You were an outsider. You were needy. Because sometimes I forget it. I think that I'm not. Sometimes I think I'm acceptable to God by what I do. God, do you know who I am? Do you know how loving I am and caring? And then I'm hospitable. It reminds me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It brings me back to worship again. God, you are here and I am here. I praise you. You are so great. What story are you telling? What story are you telling? Are you telling the story of God who reached out to strangers, who loved, a sacrificial kind of love, who was generous and refreshed? Or are you telling the story yourself of busyness, of stress? Our world needs us, not just to show hospitality in this room, or not just our greeters to show hospitality, or not just our pastors. It needs all of us. You're reaching out, and our world will be changed. They'll see the love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you said in the beginning of Hebrews, they thanked you for all you had done. And Lord, I just take a minute and I just thank you. Thank you for writing a story for us, a script that was so generous. It was so full of love and compassion and care. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to retell that story. All right. As I see the youth over here on the side, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would revive their spirits, that you would help them reorient their lives to you, and that you would just encourage them to see the stranger in youth group, to welcome the person who doesn't feel welcomed, to give them your security, your love, your care. Would you open up their hearts? Would you use them as teenagers to change the culture, the atmosphere within their youth group for your glory? I pray for adults. Lord, give us the strength to walk across the room. Will you remind us and put deep into our hearts your story of all that you've done for us? Not so we'll become great or be Martha Stewart, but so you will become great and your story will be told through all the earth. I pray this in your name. Amen.